Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Every once in a while, I read a book that is not a finance or business book. And it usually is always kind of mind-blowing for me.
Yeah, you think, why don't I do that more often? Yeah. Why am I reading all these dumb finance books all the time? Just kidding. Finance book authors. Yeah.
I feel like maybe the way I read is like that the title needs to speak to me, or it needs to be like extremely practical and obvious.
You are a practical reader.
That is true. Versus like the nuance of getting outside of different thoughts and kind of challenge the mind. So The War of Art, I read that, I think partly because I'm writing another book. I like to be around creatives. I'm not naturally that way, even though I enjoy the process of starting with nothing and ending with something.
Sure.
And then sharing it. But The War of Art gave me a peek into, and this was similar to the last book I put in this category, Unreasonable Hospitality, which was like a peek into the restaurant business and how those people think.
Obviously, that's a great finance book. Yeah, obviously, because it talks about the restaurant business.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great takeaways.
Yeah.
But The War of Art for me was just, it was a peek into the world of creatives where like they spend their life that way. And it's like this tension and the struggle and limiting beliefs and like a daily battle to like create. But the overall, and we're going to unpack for you guys, and I recommend you read it if you have not. Once you gain awareness of these forces that are at play, it's a challenge, but also gives you the feeling like I'm not alone in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't mean I'm not able to create or creative enough as a person to give something out to the world. You just have to accept the struggle it is.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it was 4 years ago now, the whole Me Too movement started. And the power of the Me Too movement was, whether you agreed with all of it or some of it or none of it, but power of it was like, oh, that was a shared experience. The whole idea of Me Too is, oh, that happened to me too, right? And the fascinating thing about this book is this whole book is basically saying like, hey, if you've ever struggled with creating something, and I would say for advisors, it's usually creating business, right?
Yeah.
If you ever struggle with creating, making something essentially out of nothing, then this is a book that says, man, me too. Like I have also experienced those feelings. And he gives language to something that every advisor has felt, every writer has felt, anyone who's ever had to take nothing and make something. And as much training as you get as an advisor, as many podcasts as you can listen to, ultimately, you have to go out and make the phone call or go to the industry event or go to the, you know, community event or whatever. Like you have to go create. And the thing that you touched on there was that there's something that pushes back against you. And that's the resistance, which he talks about in depth in his book, that you feel like maybe now you have a language for, where before you just felt like, oh, it's just really hard.
Yeah. And I appreciate it in the book how the way he wrote about it, it made it feel like resistance was this thing, this force versus this kind of word that makes sense at times, other times it doesn't. Sometimes I receive it as like, well, maybe that's just because I don't know what I'm doing or it's a weakness. Where it's like, no, resistance is this like force that has a plan against you. Like, and if you don't have a plan to fight it, you're always going to lose. And so I think it put it to the degree of magnitude that it deserves to be.
Yeah.
And in reading it, then I'm like, man, artists are like tortured by it. Like it is sometimes the biggest frustration. And while as entrepreneurs, we may put ourselves in a different camp where we have to fight more, I think limiting beliefs are more of a common term in entrepreneur, where it's like, hey, you are the biggest obstacle between yourself and your full potential. And I believe that to some degree, but then adding to it resistance, and resistance is never out for your own good. Resistance is not on your team.
Yeah.
That for me, what it touches in me is kind of like a competitive person. It's like, oh, like now I have somebody to compete against.
Yeah.
Versus this ambiguous force that I can't really put words to.
Well, and I want to ask you this. Do you feel like there's that before, maybe this wasn't a force, it just felt like, oh, Sten, you need to be better. Like, because when he names the resistance, he's like, hey, there's this thing out there that is actively fighting against you, which is very different than like, I just need to do better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's one thing where it's just like, you're lazy, and another where there's someone pushing up against you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're just chilling in your chair, not moving, that's on you.
Yep.
But if someone's pinning you down and saying, don't move because you suck.
Yes.
And it's not going to work. That's the resistance. And I think that's a shift is a lot of people are like, oh, creatively, and then also entrepreneurially, that there is a resistance that's pushing against you. Mm-hmm. And this is, in his phrasing, he says that resistance is what keeps us from sitting down and doing our best work. And for him, that just means, you know, butt in chair doing writing.
Yep.
But for, I think, whatever that work is that you feel like, man, why don't I do that? Why is that so difficult? But it's so important. And I think this book will give you, and it's, I don't know, 100, 200 pages, something like that. Not real long.
Yeah.
Very punchy in its delivery. Very, very.
Yeah, I like the formatting of it because some pages have like just up an eighth filled
yeah.
up.
Yeah, yeah. Like this one, if you want
to. Yeah, and so some of these sections, and again, this put it into, it framed it in a way for me that I can put my hands around it. And really quick, he hits what resistance is. Resistance is invincible.
Hmm.
Resistance is internal. It's insidious. It's impersonal. It doesn't really care about you. It's universal.
Oh, I like infallible.
Infallible.
It never makes mistakes.
It never sleeps.
Friggin' hate that one. Friggin' hate the never yeah. sleeps one. Go to bed, resistance.
Resistance place for keeps is fueled by fear. It opposes only in one direction. It's most powerful at the finish line. That one's a good one. How many things never get launched?
Yeah.
We don't take action. And then resistance recruits allies.
Yeah. And the idea that if you don't understand your enemy, how will you ever win? You're fighting the wrong battle. And a lot of times it's you're fighting against yourself and you're not the enemy.
Yeah.
Like there is actually, and now I think of things like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, right? And then from a biblical perspective, there being someone that's evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this book, whatever your faith system is, like, or you're just a creative or you're just an entrepreneur, it gives you language to go, okay, because once you have language and you do understand how that resistance is working, you can then have a plan to overcome it versus just going, oh, it is what it is, right? It's all me.
Yeah, and I appreciate, and this is part what we get from our EAN community is this shared experience of like, this stuff is hard. So let's not argue that resistance exists and it affects all of us. The only difference is, do you develop a system that works for you to overcome it consistently?
Yeah.
And average, what we call average, the average path is you overcome it every once in a while, maybe just a little bit, just good enough. And then you're frustrated and kind of grind it out and accept average results.
Yeah.
As I read this book, I was like, no, there's a way to build a system. Because I face this. I'll sit down to write or we'll summarize a podcast. And there's something in us that's like, oh, yeah, that's good enough. But hey, let's meet tomorrow and finish it. It's like, No, let's finish it now.
Yeah.
Like, what is the thing? And so I don't feel bad when it happens. I want my awareness to increase so I know when it's happening.
Yeah.
But then for you and your process, like, what is it going to take for you to consistently overcome that?
And I think to answer that question, some people can read a book and go do it. Some people can listen to a podcast and go do it. Most people, I was on the phone for 30 minutes this morning with a mentor of mine talking about a part of my life that I'm experiencing a lot of resistance in. And what I need is I need people, usually other men in my life, who are able to speak in truth, whether I like the truth or not, but it's truth. I need people. And some people can just listen to a podcast or watch a YouTube video or whatever. And I think that is, and this is to the next point, it says, most of us have two lives. He talks about life before we turn pro and life after we turn pro. And his phrase, turning pro, actually, I think he has another book called Turning Pro. But the idea of turning pro is when you sort of, and I think our language is, there's life before you're elite and after you're elite.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen this, and it's phenomenal. People can go look for it, but there's this guy that he probably weighed like 350 and he couldn't like touch his knees. Like he would bend over and he like had a cane or a walker or something like that. And then like there's this progression over, I don't know, probably took 3 years of him going from that to doing like these crazy like yoga things, and he's standing on his head or whatever. But it was so freaking inspirational because you see this guy that you think is like, that guy's dead in 3 years. To like, oh wait, I'm going to pay that guy to be my personal trainer because he's like insane. You know what I mean? But he knew there was a day before he turned pro where he was average, and there was a day that he's like, no, I'm going to be elite.
I'm a different person.
And there are times when you have to say, like when you started charging for your advice, one day you're like, I charge for my advice. Why? Because today I charge for my advice. Because sometimes you just make those decisions. So the other thing that we want to make sure people understand is that, I love this part, is if you take resistance at its word, you deserve everything you get. If you know it's out there and you just go, well, it just, whatever, that's true. Its whole job is to stop you. And I think one of the things that's challenging is some advisors will just go, well, it's too hard. And they'll just agree with the resistance, yeah. Even though the resistance's only job is to stop you. But it's safer to do less, okay. Right?
I think at times what's hard, and just a lot of advisors we work with, is some advisors are desperate, meaning I'm willing to do whatever it takes for myself, for my family. Some are in a position where they don't even have the time or flexibility to give themselves the roadmap to stay in the business.
It's fair.
I don't have the runway. I don't have the income. Like, I want it, but I don't have it. Most are just stuck in average. And we see it all the time where, hey, life's happening and it's okay. I'm making just enough. And I think part of the stuff we teach advisors is more is not always the goal, but maximizing where you are. And we'll use the, you know, massive value with extreme efficiency. It's like, if you can help more people and spend less time, like if there's a better way, are you open to it?
Yeah.
And I think after reading this book, I'm realizing resistance is really the force that we're battling with when people are saying, I want your help, but I'm not all in. Limiting beliefs exist, but it's like, how can we help set a better expectation for people? That it's like, you are going down this path. You're saying you want to be elite. You are average now. We agree on that. You want more. You believe you're capable of more. You just don't know how to get there. Here's a path. But let's agree now that our biggest enemy starting tomorrow is resistance is going to be constantly trying to push you off.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we also know is, you know, I love the stat, 95%. You have a 95% higher probability of success achieving your goals if you outsource accountability, which means don't do it alone. Most people would also agree that you are a product of who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
So are you surrounding yourself with great advisors that are doing a lot bigger things than you? Or are you hanging out with people that are kind of like you and make you feel good? So these are all things that we all know are true, but why do we not? This is the age-old question I ask myself too. Like, why do I know if getting up early and doing these things every day is better? Why do I not do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is resistance.
Yeah.
And it is a thing that is constant and we have to fight against it. And so this book sums it up, and I can put my hands on it now, that as an advisor, entrepreneur, you wake up every day and you know this thing is waiting for you, and you win each day at a time.
And I want to close with the idea that resistance can be actually more of a mile marker than it is a stop sign. Mile marker meaning this is hard. Oh, I must be going in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was a kid on a road trip and being like, Dad, what's these little signs? These little tiny signs by the side of the road. They weren't big exit signs. Yeah. They weren't, you know, you're on this highway. This is a little tiny signs. Like, oh, Dad. He's like, oh, those are mile markers. They just tell you how far you are. And if you know you're at exit 49, the next mile marker will be this little 50. I go, why are they there? He goes, just to let you know how far you are until the next exit or how you far. Mm. They're just there to help you know that you're making progress.
Mm.
And most people treat resistance like, oh, I should stop. Well, maybe resistance is a mile marker. It's like, oh, you should keep going because it's hard. Right.
Yeah. I love that. Let's hit these real quick. These are kind of some just main takeaways that read the book, sit in it. But number one, recognize resistance. I mean, we really talked about that. Like, no, this is a force that's there. I think it is an indicator you're doing the right thing as opposed to stop. The biggest kind of comparison for this that hits home with me is the gym.
Yeah.
It should hurt. You should be tired. And most of us accept that means I did something good.
Mm-hmm.
But in the business space, like limiting beliefs, fear, resistance, like we should treat those the same way. Expect fear. It is normal to be scared. Mm-hmm. Love that. Work in a way anyway. This is part of the idea of like just get up and do it.
Yeah.
And jumping. Then it says love misery. I think that's intense. and then the final one, harness the muse. And the muse is getting yourself in a creative space. And I've lived this, that if I sit down and I start recording things for creating content, or I start writing out a chapter of a book, the first 5 minutes are the hardest. It's sitting down, opening the computer, because once I start flowing and the book calls it the muse, the muse will show up. And you will go from saying, I'm not creative, I don't know what to think about, to like, wow, where'd this stuff come from? And then you start iterating it. So pick the book up if you haven't. If it's, you know, if you have books in front of you right now, the main takeaway is start recognizing resistance and knowing that it has to be addressed every single day. And if you're feeling it, it's probably a good sign.
Hey, thanks for listening to that episode. I want to invite you to tune into episode 167 that we'll be releasing in February of 2025. It specifically interviews three different advisors about their experience adding planning or improving their planning business based on the things that we teach at our live event and in our coaching program. And the reason I think that you're going to really enjoy it is because it's advisors with different amounts of experience implementing planning in different ways, who all paid their own money, their own investment to come and to get trained or coached by us. And I think you'll be encouraged to hear about how they implemented what they learned. And I hope, and Sten and I, we both hope that you'll consider joining us at our in-person event in April of 2025, because that really is where we find advisors who take the time to step out of their day-to-day life, who then go home and implement what we teach, that they find the most success. And that's what we want for you, to become an elite advisor. And so please check out that episode, episode 167. And as always, thanks for listening.